Time to start the interview portion of the program. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. As promised, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Texas Tech, third season with the Red Raiders, 2018 Big 12 co-coach of the year. He led Texas Tech to the Elite Eight last season. First time in school history, Texas Tech is 10-0, and they are number 11 in both polls. A huge game Thursday night against Duke, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are joined by Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard. Chris, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, great to be on.
Good to have you on. All right, so Saturday you beat Abilene Christian 82-48 in the final game at Lubbock Municipal Coliseum. Let me start right there. What did that game and that building mean to you personally?
It was awesome, Jim. Like, it's a historic building. Like, it's been around since the 1950s. A couple kind of interesting facts. The first game ever in our old Coliseum, Tex winner brought his K-State team in. Also, the UTEP National Championship team with Coach Haskins, that's where the regionals played. They beat Kansas before they went on to the Final Four that year. So just an historic building. Equally important, the first time I ever saw Willie Nelson live was at a concert in that building. So it was like mixed emotions for me.
Oh, that's awesome. We're talking to Chris Beard. You know, a few days before the final game, you and your former coach, Gerald Myers, were talking about the building and the memories that you had from that building. You went to his basketball camp back in the day. You won the hot shot competition. I know you wouldn't say that the two of you are peers, but what's it like talking to him now, knowing that you were at his camp back in the day?
It's been a great relationship. You know, it's like life always kind of comes full circle. Coach Myers is somebody I really looked up to as a kid. I was able to go to one basketball camp as a kid. The rules were different in Texas in those days. There was no AAU, and you couldn't go to camps after you'd played high school basketball. So I was in eighth grade, and I'll never forget my parents said, hey, we'll send you to one basketball camp, and that was my first time ever to Lubbock. You know, that hot shot deal was pretty cool, too. Like, so camp is over. We're all sitting there on the floor at the end, and they call my name, and then there was some kind of, like, problem, and they said, hey, you know, your trophy's not ready right now, Chris, but we'll mail it to you. And then they never did, man. It was like before the internet and email and all this stuff, but I wrote a couple hard letters, called the office a few times as a kid, and I just never got my trophy. Now, like 20 years later, you know, Coach Knight hires me to be an assistant out here, but I didn't have the balls to ask Coach Myers about the trophy, you know, because I'm an assistant for Bob Knight. I'm just trying to play my role. But it was always in the back of my mind, like, man, I got to get my trophy. Well, then, you know, God is good. I get this head coaching job a couple years ago, and the very first thing I talked about at the press conference was, Coach Myers, where's my trophy? To give you kind of an idea of what kind of guy Gerald Myers is, he actually brings a trophy by the office a couple of days later. So I got my hot shot trophy 30 years later.
Man, that is so good. That is such a great story. I'm really glad that ended like that, Chris. You earned that trophy. Better late than never. All right, so you're coming off a season where you went to the Elite Eight before you lost to the eventual champion, Villanova. I fully understand that you're focused on the present and what's in front of you and the next game, but how big was that last year for you and the program?
Yeah, it was big, and I never, like, shy away from talking about it. I was so appreciative of last year's seniors that took us on, you know, the ride of a lifetime, but our deal is we don't want that to define our program. You know, and I said that right after the Villanova game last year, that we wanted to be back in the fight sooner than later. And here we are a few months later, you know, like scratching the top 10 and having a chance to play a very, very meaningful game in December against Duke in the Garden. But more than anything, last year's season kind of validated what we do. We've asked players to work really hard here and approach the game and do things with an unselfishness that some of these guys have never done before. So when you ask guys to do things that they've never done, it's always good to have some success to validate, you know, what you're asking them to do.
We're talking to Chris Beard, Texas Tech head coach. But the fact is, you lost a lot of senior leadership. You lost a lot of talent from that team that moved on. Yet here you are 10-0, and you just keep right on rolling. How do you explain the fact that from the outside, it looks like you have not skipped a beat at all?
Well, you know, the first thing we did after that Villanova loss, when we got back to Lubbock, because we had a team meeting the next day, and I just told the guys, hey, we've got to have better players next year than we have this year. Of course, all the guys kind of look at you, and I said, well, but it could be the same people. You know, we don't need different people. We need different players. So, Jared Culver, you just had a great year as a freshman, but we got to have you a better version of yourself as a sophomore. So, the first thing I think has happened here is our returning players have gotten better. About half our team are guys that contributed on the Elite Eight run last year, so it's not like the cupboard was bare. Then we've recruited well. You know, Lubbock's a great college town. We're in the best conference in basketball, arguably the Big 12. We've got a lot of things to sell here, but I think the combination of our returning players getting better and recruiting at a higher level has allowed us to stay relevant.
We're talking to Chris Beard. All right, so you mentioned Culver. He had 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists in that win over Abilene Christian. ACU's head coach, Joe Golding, said that he looked like an NBA coach. They had no answer for him. So how far has he come, Culver, from last year and to how bright is his future going forward?
Yeah, he's legit, Jim. He really is. I'm not one of these coaches that like sugarcoats it. I'll tell it like it is. I mean, he's an NBA player. He's one of the best players in college basketball. We'd be very fortunate, you know, to have him after this year. I'll support whatever he wants to do in that regard. But I think he's really a lottery pick kind of talent. And that's not just his, the obvious things that everybody sees, the scoring, the athleticism, the IQ. It's all the intangibles that most people don't know about. He's addicted to the game. He's addicted to getting better. He's in the film room as much as any player I've ever coached. He's got a certain swagger and confidence about him, yet he's also very humble. He's the real deal. He was raised the right way by his family. I would like to think that we've done a pretty good job coaching him, but I don't want to put the pressures of the world on the guy's shoulders, but I also, you know, pride myself in being a truth teller at the core. You know, Jared Culver's an NBA player.
We're talking to Chris Beard. I appreciate that. That's a really strong statement. You know, obviously you have a guy like that and the talent's evident. How badly does he want to be coached? And then how important is it to have a locker room full of guys that want to be coached?
You know, that's who we are. You know, we don't try to be somebody we're not. Kelvin Sampson talked to our team earlier in the year. We scrimmaged Houston. Not sure if I'm supposed to talk about that, but if I'm going to get a violation, might as well get it on the Jim Rome show.
Good man. I got you.
We had a closed-door scrimmage against Houston, and Coach Sampson came in our locker room afterwards and talked, and he's like, guys, look, don't take this the wrong way. You're not Kansas. You're not Kentucky. You're not UCLA. Don't ever lose your chip. Don't ever forget where you come from. Don't ever lose that chip on your shoulder. And our guys have really embraced that. We've got a sign in our locker room that says, don't ever lose your chip. You know, we have great respect for everybody, but we also have a lot of confidence that nobody works harder than we do. But at the core of who we are, we've got guys that want to be coached. We're not easy to play for. We don't disguise that. But guys that love basketball and guys that want to get better, you know, I think do a good job in our program.
Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard joining us. All right, so you're facing number 2 Duke at Madison Square Garden on Thursday night. You've been around the game for quite some time. When you look at their talent, and they've got Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, when you look at their pure talent, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Scared to death. Just trying to figure out if we're going to be able to score a basket. No, I got a lot of respect for Duke. We're really appreciative that Coach K would play the game. You know, when we got here, we wanted to eventually, you know, win the fight. And to win the fight, you got to get in the fight. You got to play the best teams in the country. So we're very appreciative of Coach scheduling this game. We intend to take advantage of the opportunity and try to play our best game of the season. But I think Duke, you know, the talent is obviously there. The mock drafts have them 1, 2, 3 and all this. But I think just like all the coaches' teams, they're very unselfish. They play together. They defend. The whole world sees the talent. But, you know, I've had a chance to watch every game in preparation, and they're also just really, really well coached, and they play together. Even though they're all young guys, they have a certain chemistry about them that's pretty scary.
We're talking to Chris Beard. What about chemistry? I mean, is that something you can coach, or can you only recruit that? And what comes first, chemistry or the wins?
You know, I think both. I think I tell our players all the time, like, it's like in a relationship. If you say, hey, the chemistry is just going to happen naturally, I think that's bull. You know, I don't believe that. I think you want to be in a good relationship, you got to work at it. And I think team chemistry is the same thing. It starts by coach recruiting guys that are unselfish and that want to be on the team or that want to play for Texas Tech and Duke. They don't want to play for what's on the back of the jersey, their individual names. But then you've got to work at it. You know, some of the things we do, our guys spend a lot of time together off the court. We try to eat every meal possible together. We try to get to know each other on a personal level. But I think chemistry is something that doesn't happen naturally. I think you've got to work at it. And obviously Coach K is the best. You know, the TV show he's got going on right now, we've watched every episode, not because we're playing them, but also because we model our program after them in a lot of ways.
Chris, it's amazing, right? I talked to Bobby Hurley last week for my podcast, and Bobby's a guy who's doing great as a coach right now, had success at Buffalo, moved on to Arizona State, doing a great job there. You know, a 40-something guy who knows what it takes, but this is a guy who played for Coach K, and you look at Coach K, Chris, the way he's still doing it at this high level, 4 decades plus in, when you see that he's still achieving at that level this far into his career, what do you think?
just nothing but respect. You know, I had a chance to work for Coach Knight, and then Coach K obviously played for Coach Knight, worked for him for 1 year, I think, at Indiana. So I'm not telling you that I'm in the coaching tree. I'm like three blocks over in the park on the ground. I'm like a leaf in the corner. I'm not on the tree, but I've seen the tree. So a lot of things that the Duke program does, their culture, the unselfishness, the eye contact, the toughness, just the DNA in their programs are something we strive for. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but we do work really hard to try to kind of have a program like Duke.
Listen, before you go, I've had a number of coaches on this season who are also fathers, and they're watching their kids get involved in sports. What's it been like for you watching your daughters getting into sports as athletes now?
Jen, thanks for mentioning it, man. So my middle daughter, Ella, she's a sophomore, and she got moved up to the varsity a couple weeks ago. So they actually played a game in Lubbock. They live with their mom about 2 hours away in Abilene, but they played a game in Lubbock. And so I took our whole team, you know. It's one of those deals where I told the guys, hey, this isn't required, but if you don't go, you're not playing in the next game. So they kind of got it.
Right.
But we take like 50 people to this high school girls varsity game the other night, and like brought the house down, man. We're doing like defensive chants. The guys are giving standing ovations. It was so good that the opposing team actually like wanted to get their picture taken with our team after the game. We basically elevated the atmosphere of a girls high school basketball game, but watching my daughter Ella play is awesome, man. It's like I literally get more nervous and more intense in her games than I do ours because, you know, I just wanted to play so well.
Such a good story. Now, what about your other daughter, Margo? You had a pair of legendary socks last year that Margo bought for you. They had neon rings on them, and starting the Big 12 tournament, you did not wash them. How did that start? What happened to the socks at the end of the year? Have you washed them, and do you bring them back, or have they been retired?
No, we're still kicking them, Jim. They're 10-0 right now. We're going to take them to Madison Square Garden. I had to break down and Febreze them the other day. You know, we can't wash them, but I Febreze them. It's my JUCO days, my D2 days. Back in the days where you gave us your room key at the Final Four, and we went up to the concierge and ate the prime rib sliders.
That's it.
You told us not to go in your room and shower, and we didn't. We kept our word, but looking back, we probably should have. But, no, the socks are still rolling. Just like every coach, you know, we all have superstitions. Any coach that tells you they don't is lying to you, and I'm not a liar. So we'll just work these socks as long as we can. And I mean, if we play well in the Garden, these socks are going to become legendary.
I think they already are, but you know, you're right. Legendary. Not only are you not a liar, Chris, you're as real as it comes. Number 11, Texas Tech, going up against number 2, Duke. That's in the Garden. It's Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, and they're having a big year. Chris Beard, my guest. Chris, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back on. I know it's a huge week for the program. Good luck with that one on Thursday night. Love to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jim.
You're the man. Chris Beard, one of my favorites. And we do go way back. He's told that story. It's one of my favorite stories ever. Head coach at Texas Tech, third season with the Red Raiders, 2018 Big 12 co-coach of the year. Man, if you're Texas Tech, you got to do whatever you can to make sure he's happy. You got to do whatever you can to keep him there as long as you can. Because this guy's won. He's already won big games there. And I love the approach, too. That no sooner than that was done, they get right back and they meet right afterwards saying, hey, we got to be better than we were. We have to be better next year than we are right now. We need better players. Wait, what? No, it can be the same players, but you need to be better. I love this guy's mindset. I love his approach.